Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Runners Only with Dom Harvey, brought to you by Radix Nutrition. Coming up, Simon Cochran.
So I thought even if I, you know, blow up, I can probably still jog it in and go all right.
Jog it in. Yeah, so the first marathon you do, and I think the same time as my personal best of all time, was like 2:57?
2:58, you got me there.
I got you, yeah. But then I was almost unable to walk after that, let alone run another one. That's phenomenal. Fun fact, in his 1991 hit song, Tom Cochran said, "Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long." Then in 2023, Hamilton dad, Simon Cochran, no relation to Tom, said, "Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long, on a bicycle, then swim 10 kilometres and run a double marathon." And that is exactly what he did, at world record pace no less. It's a crazy story. It's an event that I've never heard of actually, been going since 1983 though evidently, called Ultraman. This was in Noosa a couple of weeks before recording this. Simon Cochran obliterated the current world record, and to do it, he had to swim, cycle and run over 500 kilometres in 3 days. So day one, 10K swim, then a big bike ride. Day two, a massive bike ride. And day three, on tired legs, a double marathon, 84 kilometres. This is definitely an episode for the running and multi-sport nerds, but there are takeaways in this conversation for everyone, including lessons on time management and how you can get more out of yourself every day, and how you can change your situation if you aren't happy with it, and the importance of enjoying everything you do, and how that's a mindset you can choose. As Simon says with his endurance events, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. I love that, and I hope you guys do too. Thanks again ever so much to my sponsors, Radix Nutrition. Check them out online, radixnutrition.co.nz, a little Kiwi company doing massive things. All right, let's get into it. Brand new world record holder, Simon Cochran, on Runners Only with Dom Harvey.
Hey, Runners Only, yeah, let's get it started. Hey. This is Runners Only with Dom Harvey. Fast paced, slow and steady, anywhere you coming. Just wanna connect for everyone who loves running. This is Runners Only, yeah, let's get it started. This is Runners Only with Dom Harvey. Fast paced, slow and steady, anywhere you coming. Just wanna connect for everyone who loves running. Hey, Runners Only with Dom Harvey.
Runners Only with Dom Harvey and Simon Cochran. How's the body? How you feeling?
Pretty good. Bounced back as good as I could have hoped.
How does it feel being a world champion?
Well, it's technically not world champion, world record holder.
How's that different?
This is the result from this race was the fastest anyone has gone across that race before, the distance across all six events around the world.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that shortly. That's the Ultraman. But first of all, it's great to have you on the podcast. There was a lot of interest in getting you on. Your mum messaged my mum to get you on, and your wife messaged me to get you on.
Yeah. And it was quite a hard case because you messaged me before you'd even read my wife's message, so we had a bit of a laugh about that.
Yeah, that was really nice, really, really supportive. Yeah, a lot of people would probably be wondering, you know, you're married and you've got two young kids, how your wife handles this, let alone be supportive, because it must require a long time away from home, but she's obviously on board.
Yeah, not too much time away from home. I mean, I think I've got the balance with work, training, family life pretty good. So yeah, it works well.
Oh no, no, come on, you must be away from home a lot. The training, when do you fit the training in?
Yeah, so I'm at home and it counts. Like, I'm always there for breakfast, kids getting off to school and daycare, and I cook dinner every night and we put the kids to bed. So I do slot it in during the day, so it's not going to cause too much chaos.
Everyone's got the same amount of hours in the day, so if you want to do this extra stuff like you're doing, you just need to allocate the hours.
So there's no TV or Netflix really, the odd weekend night maybe, you know, once in a blue moon, but it is just being efficient across the day to slot everything in, and I'm busy.
So are you up training when it's dark, or are you trying to do it during the day?
No, the alarm goes off pretty much 20 to 5 every day, whether it's going to swim squad or, yeah, doing a bike session in the garage or a run. It's up early, and then it's usually slotting another session in early afternoon.
How long has Ultraman been a thing? This is the first time I've heard about this event.
So Ultraman's been going since 1983.
Wow.
So they're going to have the 40th anniversary in Hawaii this year. So it's be quite a big event. And then there's also five other Ultraman events around the world. So you got Australia, Canada, Arizona, Florida, and maybe one more.
So it's not a new thing. Because I know the world record was set like a couple of months ago.
Yep.
And that poor bastard only hold it for like like a couple of months before you broke it. God, he must hate you. However, you smashed his record though. So what you've done is phenomenal. Like, it's not just shaving a minute or two or even 10 minutes off. It's like an hour what?
It was almost an hour and a half. So
it's insane. It's not gonna be broken, eh, for a long time.
Well, hopefully this brings a few extra guys out of the woodwork, some other top athletes, and have a crack.
Because this is the first time you've had a crack.
Yep, first time. I know a couple of the guys who have done it before. A good mate of mine, Carl, has won Ultraman Australia a couple of times. Yeah, that sort of got me interested. And because I've got a fairly good swim, bike, run background and some ultra running experience in the last year or so, then I thought, yeah, interests me quite a bit.
When it was confirmed that you were lining up for Ultraman, you've done we're going to get into all of this, but you've done like a shit ton of endurance events. You've done so many Ironmen and stuff. Do you think people would have been watching you around the world with keen interest, or just thinking you're a novice and you know what I mean? Like, do you think anyone apart from you was predicting you were going to break the world record?
Probably not break the world record, but I think, yeah, from the racing history over the last few years and, yeah, experience over the long, long stuff, I think a few people thought I was going to go well and possibly win this one. But, yeah, I didn't even think I was going to, yeah, take an hour and a half off the world record, that's for sure.
Yeah, we better run through what Ultraman is. So it's kind of like a double Ironman and a little bit more.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's pretty much a double Ironman distance. Well, a bit more, 515 Ks across 3 days. So day one, 10K open water swim and 145K bike. Day two, 275K bike.
And then it's a big day.
And then day three, to top it off, is a double marathon. So you're running a marathon out, turn around, and a marathon back.
Yeah, and your times on, obviously, I mean, you got the world record, but your times on all these things are sizzling. I don't know much about swimming or cycling, but I've done running for a number of years, and your run time was phenomenal. The first marathon was a sub three, the second one like a 307.
Yeah, yeah, I think, yeah 258 and a 307 to give me a 606 double marathon.
Yeah, so the drop-off in the second half of that run after two big days before that was very minimal.
Yeah, and I probably went out a little bit quicker than I was hoping, but that does give you the benefit of having a bit of a buffer over that second half.
Okay, so run through the events. So I was at Noosa the day before. What are you doing? You're just resting? You're eating a lot? How do you prepare for something like this nutrition-wise?
So it felt like a five-day event because the day before is a massive briefing day. It's like 3 or 4 hours because there's a lot of logistics having... The race is open roads, so you got to stop at stop signs, traffic lights, obey all road rules. You've got trucks, cars, roadworks, all sorts. So it's carnage.
How many people are taking part? Not many.
No, so they cap it at 50. Right. So people have to apply. Because you've got your support crew out on the road in a car, so they're your aid station. They're giving you your bottles of drink throughout, helping navigate and everything like that. So it is different to a standard triathlon. So yeah, so the day before is a big registration day, and then you've got 3 days of racing, and then a bit of a celebration prize giving day as well.
See, I had no idea about the thing about the roads being open and you know, you having to stop for signs and things like that. That's got to be increasingly difficult as well as fatigue.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're coming back up the coast from Mooloolaba to Noosa on a Sunday afternoon, so there's quite a bit of traffic. I had to stop at 3 traffic lights, which feels like you're there for an hour, but if you look at the stop times, might have added 3 minutes, and everyone's in the same boat, so it's just trying not to stress about that at the time.
So it's not an enjoyable break for you at those stop signs and red lights?
Nah, that was like, yeah, you're 240 Ks and you're ready to finish the last hour and get it done. Yeah.
Okay, so day one, you start in the water.
You head out to the left to 1.5 Ks and then back, and then out 2 Ks, back, and then you do the 1.5 out and back again. So it was sort of three out and backs.
And how do you go on this one? Are you like racing out in front of the 50 and setting the pace, or are you?
Yep. Starting hard, like any race, really. Because I got a fairly strong swimming background, I wanted to start strong and, you know, lead out of the water so you could have a strong bike and put any time into anyone else. Put the pressure on them early, which did work. So after day one swim and bike, I had a 37-minute lead already.
So you finished the 10K swim. Is it like a normal Ironman or triathlon in terms of the transition time?
Yeah,
like
standard Ultraman stuff. Usually people get out and they'll have a bit of a shower and get changed and that sort of thing, and then onto their bike and that. But I treated it more like a race. Like I went there to race, so I was out of the water, sprint up the beach, shoes on, out on the bike, gone. So it's standard triathlon suit and quick change and out, no mucking around.
God, you weren't fucking around, were you?
Nah.
How long does that swim take you, 10K swim?
That was 2 hours, 27 minutes.
Right. So how are you feeling after that?
I mean, yeah, the biggest thing was probably I hadn't done a heap of saltwater long swims. So your throat is just raw from the salt water and your tongue's quite swollen, and a little bit of chafing and whatnot. But that generally, I'd prepared well for that swim, so I got out feeling okay.
I actually had John O'Riddler on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, swam 99 Ks. He said the same thing about his tongue.
He was in the water a lot longer than me, so I can only imagine. But even, you know, 2 or 3 hours in the water is a long time.
Yeah. I'm just intrigued by, like, John, obviously it's very different to what you've done, but what you've done as well, and just, you know, the extent that you guys can push your body. I think anyone that's listening to this, you think, okay, if another human being can do it, then I probably can if I really want to put my mind to it.
Oh, exactly. Anyone can do it. There's just a process that I've followed. It's a long process for endurance sports. Like, it's 10 to 15 years of building up and improving and working out what works for you. But yeah, definitely anyone can start from where they are and at least improve, whether that's going to get to a world record or just a personal best, then you can always head in the right direction.
Yeah. So that's day one. So the swim goes well, straight on the bike, smash out
145
Ks. So what's that, like 4 hours?
I was the first one to go under 4 hours. So I went, I think it was 3:52, but that's generally, a 4 hour ride, averaging 37 or 38 K an hour.
Which, it's flying, right? And you're doing that on your own, like almost like time trial style.
Yep, time trial. Yeah. Yep. So I didn't see another cyclist out there until the turnaround. And there was a fair amount of hills, and we had the worst weather week in Noosa for ages. Like, it was raining and windy the whole time, which I didn't mind because I'm used to that conditions here over our glorious summer we've just had.
But
the Aussies didn't really enjoy it.
Well, no one's going to Noosa for the rain and the wind, are they?
No.
So that's day one. And then, so what's your lead? What's your lead at the end of the first day?
37 minutes, which was quite nice.
That is a hell of a buffer.
Yeah. And I think that sort of shocked a few of the other guys. Like, a few of them sort of thought they may match me or catch me on the bike after getting out of the water. But yeah, I rode, I think it was an extra 10 or 12 minutes into a couple of guys that were strong cyclists.
Because what's your strongest of the, if you had to rate your disciplines, what's first, what's worst?
I'm pretty even across the three, which I think is a good thing. Just consistent. I think recently my strength is probably the long running. I can race a double marathon rather than just go and complete it.
Day one finishes. What do you do? You get a massage? Have you got a physio over there?
Yeah, they had a really good setup there where, and because I got in a lot earlier than everyone, I actually had like an hour and 20 massage, which was really good. That helps a lot. And then it was just back to the Airbnb, get some food.
What is it? What do you eat?
My wife makes an awesome homemade pizza, so I was just like, right, that's going to work so good for the first night, second night. Just that and some kumara fries, lots of salt. And then it was just getting all the gear ready again for another early start. So I cleaned the bike up because it was a mess from all the shit on the roads and that sort of thing. Get all the gear ready, and then it was a 5:30 a.m. kickoff again on day two with your lights on and ready for a big ride.
At that point, you've got a 37-minute lead, did you say?
Yes.
Do you manage to get away in front? Are you allowed to ride in a pack when it starts?
No drafting. We had a neutral zone where we followed a police car for the first 5Ks out of town, so it wasn't sort of carnage. And then it's open. And, a couple of other strong cyclists really took off and obviously trying to put some time into me. Started strong and managed to hold only a 4-minute deficit to the guy who won day two as such. So
Oh, so he took 4 minutes back off you?
Yeah, took 4 minutes back off me.
That's nothing, is
but
it?
But we both broke the day two bike course record by 25 minutes as well, so it was a quick day.
Yeah, how many Ks again?
275.
Oh my God, that is awful. So I've just driven down from Auckland to Hamilton today, so it's like Auckland to Hamilton, back to Auckland and almost back to Hamilton again.
Yeah.
On a bike. So how long is that day?
That was 7 hours 18 for me.
Oh. So what's the longest training ride you do leading up to that?
I did four rides over 250Ks, sort of culminating with my biggest weekend was a 300K ride, and then the following day was a 60K run. And that was like 3 weeks out from the event.
That's a heinous amount of training, isn't it? Like waking up in the... when you've got your game face on and you're in Noosa, I can understand, you know, you do it. But the drive to get out of bed in Hamilton on a cold Saturday or Sunday morning and go for a 300K training ride, it's not for the faint.
No, definitely not. And that takes a lot to do that, especially week on week for this build-up.
It's
been a massive season, really. So to back up that and then sort of finish the season with this big event. The motivation was all towards performing at Ultraman, and you got to do those big days to get the results.
You do the mahi, get the treats.
That's it. Yeah.
But a lot of 49 people there did the mahi and didn't necessarily get the treats.
They got their own treats.
By the way, most people listening to this will never ride that far on a bike in their life. What's it like when you get off a bike after 7 hours of going full tip?
Well, I'm used to getting off a bike and having to go and run a marathon and an Ironman. Mm. So mentally, it's quite nice because you can get off and literally jump onto a massage table. But your body, your lower back and everything is just aching after 2 days on the bike. Like within the last, 24 hours of doing that ride, you've been on the bike for nearly 12 hours and pushing hard for 12 hours. So yeah, you're ready to get off the bike, that's for sure.
And then what? More pizza?
Yep. Same plan. Like it worked really well on the first night, so just stuck to that home. Pretty much the same routine of getting gear ready for the next day. I mean, there's a lot of nutrition to sort as well, and then feed up into bed.
And there's like no niggles or anything, no concerns. Like you're feeling good going into the third and final day, the run.
My lower back and glutes were really tight after the bike, but I'd experienced that in some of the bigger training weeks.
Yeah.
So just sort of rolled it out, stretched out a bit. And generally, when I start running, that loosens up because you're using different muscles in a different way. So running is usually a lot nicer on the lower back and the glute.
It was yours to lose at this point. Is that how you sort of saw it?
Yeah, well, it was mine to lose, but it was also they'd put the carrot of the world record in front of me and said, right, if you run under 6 hours 17 for the double marathon, then you'll break 20 hours, which no one had ever... Well, no one had gone under 21 hours, but they said, here you go, have a crack at going under 20.
Who's they? Like the organizers?
Well, the organizers, yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, I was confident that I was going to go under the 21 hours, 21 minutes.
Yeah.
But then when they threw that at me, I was sort of like, oh, hang on. I didn't expect to have to run that quick. Yeah, I was expecting 6 hours 30, like two back-to-back 3:15s, which still sounds crazy, especially because it's hilly and it's on the third day. And then when they chucked the extra challenge at me, I thought, well, I don't really have too much to lose because even if I, jogged it in, I'd probably still go all right because the first 2 days had gone so well.
But there's a risk in the run, I would imagine, if you go out too quick that the wheels can fall off completely.
Oh, yeah. Shit can hit the fan pretty quick.
Yeah. Was that a concern or not really? Obviously not. In hindsight, obviously not really.
Nah, not too much. Like, I was confident in my running, and especially the back end strength. So I thought even if I, blow up, I can probably still jog it in and go all right.
Jog it in. Unbelievable. Yeah, so the first marathon you do, and I think the same time as my personal best of all time, was like 2:57?
2:58, you got me there.
I gotcha, yeah. But then I was almost unable to walk after that, let alone run another one. That's phenomenal. That's what pace were the other guys doing? What was the next best?
Next best through the marathon, I think, was around 3:18. So I saw all them at the turnaround, and everyone's happy for you, like cheering you on, so it does give you some motivation running back. I think the second quickest run would have been about a 6:50 something in the end.
Amazing.
So,
and how's the run? So you start, are you feeling good at the beginning?
Yeah, well, it's so hard to know. Like, I did a kilometre warm-up, and you sort of think, oh, I don't feel too bad, but you don't know how you're going to feel. Same thing, it was windy, raining, pitch dark, so you got head torch on, everyone goes off at once. A couple of guys boost out and do like a 405 first K, and I was like, okay, that's all right.
What were you doing, like 415s?
415s for the first marathon. And you pick up, I picked up my mate Matt as a pacer 5Ks in, and he could run to the marathon point with me carrying bottles and, you know, someone to chat to. And then I had a couple more paces on the way back as well, which is just nice. They help keep you on track, carry some nutrition, and just, you know, give you a kick up the ass if you need it.
I mean, you would have been fatigued from day one and day two, but you've done a lot of training, you're fit, and you're ready to go. So I'm guessing at 4:15 pace, you're running well within yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on that edge. Like, you sort of, you're always second guessing. But my theory is, like, when you're feeling good, you've got to use that. So it felt comfortable enough.
But also a daunting amount of Ks ahead of you as well.
Yeah, so you just got to break it down. It's sort of break it down. They had timing mats and people at the half marathon, the marathon, the three-quarter, you know, 63Ks, and then the finish. So.
And when did it start to really, really hurt or get really dark?
Yeah, right through to the marathon felt pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back, there's a real hilly section at about 55 to 65 Ks. And that's where, yeah, the legs were starting to feel it a lot, especially on the downhills. But I'd built up that buffer, so I could ease off a little bit. So it didn't really get too bad. Like, I managed to pick it up for the last 10 Ks and finish strong. So it did go to plan.
Do you ever get dark in races? Or are you just, like, relentlessly positive? Or good, just good at keeping yourself glass half full.
Yeah, you have to.
I'm curious, as someone who struggles with that immensely.
Yeah, like, I've done a couple of long runs, like, you know, 100 miles and even 200 Ks at a 24-hour event. And you definitely go through stages where you feel like absolute shit. But most of the time you just need to, sort of have a little moment, reset and go again. And a lot of the time it is just getting more nutrition in, or having a bit of a stretch, or, you know, having a chat to a new pacer or friend, and then carry on.
If you're on your own in these races, like, are there any strategies or techniques? You got any mantras or?
Not really. You just sort of think back to the training that you've done and have the confidence. And, like, when I go to the races, like those big ones, I'm not there to have fun. I know it's going to hurt. And the more you hurt, the faster you go. The quicker you get to the finish.
Do you like being in pain? Do you like the hurt? Are you one of those sadistic people?
I like that quote. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's like, everyone's going to be in pain, but it's your choice whether you're going to suffer. So the pain you can associate to performance most of the time. If you're pushing hard and it's not a bad injury type pain, then generally the more pain you can withstand, the faster you're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. So then when do you realise you're gonna obliterate the world record? Is it like at the 50K mark, the 60K mark?
Well, even at the marathon turn, I'm like, wow, that's going better than I was expecting. And you're sort of trying to work out the sums in your mind, even though your brain's not really working. Probably around that marathon mark, I thought, if I'm not going to explode and have to walk a lot, then I'm there.
And then you do it, you finish. And then what?
Same routine. I was straight on the massage table because I was pretty cooked.
Were you? No shit.
Yeah. And then we shot back home via a bakery, got a couple of pies. And then, a few beers with the supporters and cheering on the other finishers that are coming in. We were just at the Noosa Surf Club there. A few drinks and some food. And
so you were in good shape. You weren't exhausted.
No, I was good. Yep. I was looking back to some videos at the finish line from last weekend, and no, it looked like I had pulled up all right.
What now? Have you got a rest coming up? The past year for you, now's probably a good time to do this. We'll run through just some of the stuff you've done in the past year. So, solo marathon on your birthday. When was your birthday, by the way?
July 10.
July 10. How old were you?
38. So I wanted to run 2:38.
Right, for my 38. And you did 2:38.
I know, yeah. Just.
Which is, if you do a 2:48 marathon, that's like 4 minute K pace. So what's 2:38?
I think 3:46.
Yeah, it's no joke, right?
No, it's
heaving, and to do it on your own.
Yep.
What have you done? Just a marathon event?
No, like that's my quickest marathon. Right. I've done plenty off the bike in a Ironman. And I've run New York Marathon, was one of my first marathons. Ran that with mum. I think I was 25, mum was 50. And I've run Christchurch Marathon, but that was the year it was 0 degrees and my quads froze up, and yeah. It was horrendous.
So, yeah, so what do you think you could do, like in a marathon event, if you trained just for that? And
yeah, I don't know. I seem to sort of just have that good endurance, but not a heap of the fast.
I don't know. But I think
I could go under 2:30.
Yeah, wow.
But anything around that 2:20 is like, yeah, you'd probably have to drop another 10 kilos and focus on running specifically.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, so, yeah, this is what you've done the past year. Solo birthday marathon, 2 hours 38. Blue Lake 24-hour run. You won that by running 201 kilometres. What was second place getter?
160 or something, I think. Yeah, a few went to 100 miles, but no one had won the 200K trophy.
Yeah. The Taupo 100K, you won that.
Yep.
Taupo Half Ironman, a 70.3, short event by your standards.
Yeah.
third place.
Yeah, that went well.
You're good over the long distances and the short distances.
Yeah, well, it's good you're saying half Ironman's short distance now.
for most people, like a 70.3 is no joke. But, I mean, for you, when you're running 200Ks and you're doing Ultraman, it's a short distance for you.
Yeah, well, I surprised myself. I had the best run off the bike I've ever had. Like, I ran 1:15 off the bike half marathon at Taupo on the back of the Taupo 100K training. So I hadn't done any speed work as such, but it just so shows that strength crosses over from the ultra side of things.
Then there was the Rotorua Half Ironman, you won that. Tauranga Half Ironman, fifth place. Tarawera 100 miler, which is 165Ks, fifth place. Ironman New Zealand, sixth. And you did them in the Tarawera 165K one. That was like a couple of weeks before the Ironman.
Yeah.
So as a coach, if an athlete said to you, "Hey Simon, I'm going to do a 100 miler, and I'm thinking about doing the Ironman full 2 weeks later. What do you reckon?" What would you say to your clients?
Do as I say, not as I do.
What was your plan going into that Ironman? So were you like, "Oh, if I'm tired from the 100 miler, I'll just pull out, or I'll go easy, or treat it as a training if I need to?" Or
nah, if I'm lining up to race, it's a race. But that event was pretty tough. Like, I hadn't had the cycling or swimming volume that I'd usually have, but that running endurance and strength does cross over pretty well, like if you've got enough of a background. But I injured myself, my shoulder, somehow before the Ironman, so I didn't really swim for a few weeks before either, so I just had to rely on,
like muscle memory.
Yeah, pretty much.
And just good aerobic base, I guess.
Yep.
So you got to rest now? That's a lot of events you've done. What's next?
Well, the Ultraman World Champs are in Hawaii in November. There's another Ultraman in Canada, which is in July. So I might try and see if we might be able to sneak over there and do that and qualify. But that would mean 3 Ultramans within 4 or 5 months.
Is that advisable? If you're feeling good?
I mean, I think I can do it. It'll just depend on, if we can organise the trip, maybe secure a bit of funding. And then, have a real good crack at the World Champs in Hawaii. That's pretty appealing.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the money side of things. Because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, your wife messaged me and she was talking about what a great husband you are and what a great father you are and how you run a couple of businesses. I mean, you do have this remarkable ability of, fitting everything in. As I said, everyone's got the same amount of hours in the day, same amount of days in a week.
Yeah.
But you just choose to, I suppose, allocate your time more wisely. How is the financial side of things?
Well, I mean, I've never been a full-time professional athlete, so you're racing these guys that are doing it full-time, so they don't have to go to work. They can recover more, they can train more, they can, you know, travel around a bit more as well. So the funding, like, we've pretty much self-funded, you know, the last 10 years. I've had a few supporters on board, which... Yeah, over the COVID times, everything sort of pulled back, which was fair enough. But like Orchard Gold and St. Pierre's, a couple of big Kiwi companies, they've been my biggest.
St. Pierre's sushi? Backers.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And what's the other one? Ultra?
Orchard Gold.
Orchard Gold.
The berries, okay. Frozen berries and that. Someone talks with them, hopefully to jump back on board for a big year. But obviously, yeah, it'd be great to work with some New Zealand companies. Get their name out there.
Because I think that makes what you've done even more remarkable. Because, you know, there's the I don't know, your Braden Currys, your Cameron Browns, your Hayden Wilds in a shorter distance, or whatever. Anyone that completes even just an Ironman and holds down a job and a family and stuff, I think they're the true heroes. And you're doing this stuff at near elite level without any other sort of like professional support.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got some good support just with gear and that sort of thing. But that doesn't pay the bills or pay the trips overseas. But I mean, I enjoy it and we get to see some pretty cool places around the world. I mean, I've raced, you know, right around the world through Europe, America, Asia. So I've seen some cool places.
Well, let's go all the way back. So you're 38 now. You grew up in Auckland.
Yep.
And then moved to Hamilton.
About 8 years ago.
Yeah, why? Why would you... You just love punishment, eh?
Yeah, if you'd asked me when I was living in Auckland whether I'd either move or live in Hamilton, I would have said hell no. But since we moved here, I mean, shit, I would never move back to Auckland. It's so central. I mean, you can get to Coromandel, Rotorua, Taupo, everywhere, Raglan, within, you know, a lot of a shorter drive. No traffic, house prices are better, training is miles better.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, from like a road cycling perspective, I'm from Palmerston North and I was road cycling, and then as soon as I moved to Auckland, I sort of gave it away because it's just terrifying.
Yeah, it is. And, yeah, I went back to Auckland last week, and, yeah, just driving anywhere, just think, how the hell did I used to train here? Like, you got to ride for an hour before you can even get onto some good roads.
Yeah. So what were you good at back at school? What were your sports?
I guess sports competitively. I mean, I played rugby, I did a bit of soccer and rock climbing, and then later on got into kickboxing, raced motocross a bit more. So still other sports that hurt you, but you're just not doing it yourself.
Mm. So then you leave school, you become a panel beater. Why a panel beater? I'm just trying to like reconcile that with the Simon I see sitting in front of me now, and it's hard to imagine you doing anything other than what you're doing now.
Yeah, that seems like it was a world ago.
Yeah.
Out of school after the sixth form year or year 12, just got a summer job at a panel beating workshop, enjoyed working on cars and that sort of thing, and then they offered me an apprenticeship. So I was like, well, I can either go back to seventh form, and didn't really enjoy school. So I was like, right, I'll do apprenticeship, work for them for a few years, and then wanted to get into the health and fitness industry. So I sort of asked, oh, can I do some study on the side? And the panel beating boss was like, no. So I was like, okay, see you later.
So
I'm out of here.
What age is this, like 20, 21?
Yeah, 20.
Yeah,
yep. And then, yeah, got into personal training and a bit of coaching up in Auckland, and then it sort of all... kickstarted from there, really.
Like, what's your first sort of event?
Did Rotorua Half Ironman, the Suffer one, because someone had approached me to coach them for that, and I'd never heard of it. So I was like, oh, this sounds quite interesting. Did a bit of training with them, and then thought, oh, I'll enter the race as well. And then at the prize giving for that race, I actually won a entry into Challenge Wanaka full Ironman, which was only 3 weeks later, and I hadn't really done the training, but jumped into that, enjoyed it. And then
I'm seeing a pattern here.
And then entered Ironman New Zealand three weeks after that.
Oh, shit. So how old are you now? What are we, early 20s? Are we talking?
23, okay. 24.
So how did those first Ironmen go? So you do the half Ironman, which you trained for.
Yep.
And then a few weeks later, a full Ironman.
Yeah, and that's a pretty tough course down there. So I think it was around 11 hours 20, so not too bad for a first one. But then, yeah, even 3 weeks later, come up to Taupo, a little bit more knowledge, took like an hour off the time, and then, yeah, just slowly improved. Yeah, it's a long game, the endurance game.
How many full Ironmen have you done?
37 now.
So you're doing it like, you're averaging over two a year.
Yeah, the early years, I did a bit of an OE with a mate, and we drove around Europe in a camper van just doing different races and that sort of thing. I think I did 7 Ironman in 1 year, and then I was sort of averaging around 3 or 4, And then COVID times hit, obviously a couple of years of pretty much none. And then, yeah, getting back into things now.
You just love events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about half Ironman?
Yeah, probably more, probably 50 or so, I'd say.
What about injuries? You had many sort of injuries over the years?
That's pretty good. I think I'm pretty resilient. Training smart, fueling well, you know, doing all the right things, and then just listening to your body. Like, a lot of runners will think, oh, I've got something sore, I'll just push through until, yeah, then you need some treatment. I think I'm good at backing off. And because you've got the three sports to change it up with, like if you did have a bit of an injury or a tight spot, you can do some extra swimming or biking to take the load off. And then it is just training smart, gradually building up and recovering well.
Do you do other stuff? Like, are you in the gym cross-training, or are you just so busy with the...
Yeah, well, this last build-up, because there was so much aerobic training, like 25, 30 hours a week, didn't have a heap of extra time for, yeah, strength, flexibility, that sort of thing. But that's definitely in there.
Can you remember the peak week for this Ultraman? What was the busiest week you had, or the biggest week you had?
Yep. So, I mean,
you're a coach, so are you doing your own programs, or do you have a coach?
No, I'm coaching myself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone else would be mad enough to prescribe what I give myself.
See, I think that takes a special person, eh, to not cut corners or go easy on yourself at all. When I say special person, I mean a madman.
It's hard because you don't have anyone to pull you back either. But I think for this more extreme racing, you do need to push the boundaries, which willing to do on myself, and just trial out some different theories around training sessions and, you know, backing up day after day as well.
Yeah, so the biggest week, what did that look like?
That was 35 hours of training. So that was, I think, four swims. So I go to swim squad on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then in this build-up, I was adding in another one or two big solo swims. So like 7, 8, 9, 10 Ks in the pool.
In the pool?
Mm. Yeah. Staring at that black line, getting your mind ready for the battle.
Would it not have been better to go to the nearest sort of, like, to go to Raglan, I guess, and
just time, like,
get in the salt? Yeah,
time,
okay.
Efficiency. Yeah, yeah. Yep. I mean, if we had like a nice warm Noosa Beach close by, then yep, for sure. But jumping out on the west coast, and yeah, it's not that appealing, and you can just, I guess, do some more specific training in the pool for times and technique and whatnot. So yeah, so it was around that 25 kilometres of swimming, that peak week. So it's not huge overall, but a couple of bigger swims. So there would have been like an 8 and a 10K in that week. And then cycling 600Ks for the week with that 300K weekend ride. And then that's still another 300Ks during the week of smaller, more intense rides. And then the running, I think my run volume has just been consistently around that 80 to 100Ks across the board, with a few of those real peak weeks, obviously in the build up to the 100 miles, doing some 150K weeks on top of that.
How are you running your businesses? Like, when you're doing this, you're not getting a lot of work done that week, are you?
Still getting things done. Yeah. It's only 35 hours of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. When you break it down like that, I mean, and you can, I suppose you have to, it's like 5 hours a day. Which leaves another 19 hours for everything else you need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeepers.
So it is really good at working on your time management skills. And that pays off in your businesses as well. Like, I'm efficient. When I'm working, I'm working. When I'm training, I'm training. And when I'm with the family, I'm with the family. Mm. So it's like, if you're focusing on what you're trying to achieve at the time, you'll get a lot more done rather than trying to, you know, send a couple of emails while you're watching TV or you're... Yeah.
So one of your businesses is Athletic Peak.
Yes.
Which is a coaching business.
Yep.
And I'm guessing that's going to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, almost like almost at capacity with athletes.
Yeah, like, how many athletes can you take at any given time?
Oh, it's a fine line.
Yeah.
So if you're taking on, like, say, just runners only.
Nice.
Then you can do a bit more. It's a bit less intensive. But then when you've got triathletes and multi-day races, then that's, a bit more planning. But I really enjoy training anyone from, you know, a beginner 5K through to, yeah, some pro athletes as well. But I'm looking at spending a bit more time on the coaching business this year and expanding with a few training camps and workshops and that sort of thing. So watch this space.
We will. And what's your other business?
So I run corporate accommodation in Hamilton, which is a short-term corporate accommodation. So we've got a bunch of apartments that we lease out to businesses bringing staff into town as well. So that's both businesses that aren't bound to an office or a time schedule. So that definitely works well. And I don't think I could do anything if I had to do a standard 9-to-5 job for...
It would make things incredibly difficult, wouldn't it? You'd just be like cramming it in before work and after work.
Yep. It would, add too much stress. Body can only handle so much stress, whether it's training, work, relationships, bad diet, lack of sleep, you know.
Yeah, what about bike crashes? No one rides that many Ks on a bike and gets away scot-free.
Yeah, well, touch wood, I've only had one proper crash, and that was the one, that put me up for 9 months, or out of the pool for 9 months. Broke my shoulder pretty bad. This was a couple of days before Christmas.
Like collarbone, or...?
So collarbone broke in two places, shoulder blade in two places, and three ribs broken. So it was a good over-the-handlebars, down into the ditch crash.
At what pace?
You can actually check your Garmin from where it goes from, I think it was like 38 k's an hour to zero. Could have been quite serious. Like, I tucked my head down, luckily, because I hit the bank, obviously, with some impact. And you can only imagine if you hit with your head straight on or something, it would, probably snap your neck.
So then what? So you're recovering. You must have been miserable.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. So it was a couple of days before Christmas, hell of a lot of pain. And obviously this was right when the summer season was sort of kicking off. But, well, luckily it was when we had that next lockdown. So I think I only missed one race that I was actually going to do anyway, because all the others were cancelled. But the interesting thing is with the shoulder, I could start running within a couple of weeks. It was crazy. I made this sling out of some physio band and started doing some hiking down in the Coromandel, and then started jogging. And so I could run, I think I did a 50K run 3 weeks after with my arms still in a sling.
Just not moving your sort of torso and upper body.
Yeah, or... just a bit of a technique that seemed to be comfortable enough.
That's desperation, isn't it? Desperate. What was it? Fear of losing fitness? Fear of losing speed?
Well, there was still hope that the 100K race that was a few months out was still going to go ahead. So I wanted to see if I could at least stay fit enough to enter that.
Mm. And as someone that likes events so much, you must have really struggled with lockdown. Was that time tough?
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting. A lot of people around the world seem to have had some really great performances after the lockdowns, because you usually don't get that amount of time for a training block without racing, you know, without tapering off, racing, and then building back up. So I think if you could manage that period well, then you could get a pretty good boost in fitness, which I think I did with a bit more longer runs and adventures and, you know, some challenges that I threw in there myself as well.
Yeah. How did you and your wife meet? She's a former athlete, right? Like, she's done Ironman events.
Yep.
Yeah, so she gets it.
Yeah, she's done 11 Ironman events herself. And still, you know, she jumped in and did Queenstown Marathon last year with, you know, only a few weeks build up. So she's a decent athlete.
Weapon.
As well.
How did you guys make?
At Ironman New Zealand. Right. Yep, through some mutual friends. It was about 10 years ago. So, yeah, so it definitely helps to have a supportive family and wife, obviously.
Oh, it would be impossible otherwise, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be absolutely impossible. Yeah. And that stuff's key. And you guys are juggling family as well. You've got two little ones?
Yep. Tinley's 5 and Nixon is 2. So Tinley's just started school. But yeah, good supportive family.
So they, I'm guessing the kids are too young to sort of even have a real appreciation of what you do. It's like dad's just going...
Well, yeah, I was laughing about this the other day with someone... you know, like some of those big training days where I've gone out and, like, I've had a couple where I've run 100 Ks in training solo just by myself. And then you get home and it's like, right, time to do the lawns, time to play this, time to make dinner. And it's just like, oh, dad's just gone out for a little run.
Yeah. Because at that age, they don't give a shit if you're tired, do they?
No, exactly.
It just goes to show what's possible if you want to do it and you put your mind to it.
Yeah, that's it. And, like, I like... obviously showing kids that, yeah, anything is possible, but then also friends, athletes, I mean, and anyone who's watching, that you can always do a hell of a lot more than you think. it takes a bit of dedication, and but yeah, you can get a lot more out of yourself. I think it crosses over to business and relationships. When you get used to doing hard things and making hard choices, then I think things become easier because you're used to either hurting or making decisions in tough times that you just get better dealing with hard situation.
There's a quote I saw on Instagram. It says something like, hard choices, easy life. Easy choices, hard life.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
And then another good quote is, nobody cares, work harder.
What about sleep? What's your sleep like? You must be exhausted every night when your head hits the pillow.
I sleep pretty well.
Yeah? How many hours?
We're usually in bed sort of 9:30-ish, sometimes 10 o'clock, and then the alarm goes off at 4:40
odd. So 7 hours.
Yeah, 7 hours. But good sleep routine. So like, I've got a sauna and ice bath at home set up, and probably 3 or 4 evenings a week, we'll have a sauna, jump in the ice bath, then you have a quick shower and go to bed, and you sleep like a baby. Like, So it's just having the good routines.
That's key. Like, looking for those, like 1 or 2% is for you. Like, you've got to be doing absolutely everything right, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And it all adds up, especially over time. Like, if, you can choose a few things to focus on, but if you're not doing it for years at a time, you're not going to see the real benefits, I believe. So it's like, it's that long-term commitment that pays off. And the consistency. The consistency is number one.
Yeah.
In training, in business, in everything. If you're making the right choices over a long period of time, it's going to go well.
Physically, you're in the top 1% of people in New Zealand, without it, unquestionably. Mentally, obviously, you're in a just as good condition, because you need to be to go into the pain cave as often as what you do. Has your mental health always been good?
Yeah. Luckily, it has. And I think the sport has a massive part to play. I think not only, the obvious benefits from exercise and good eating and sleeping and everything, but also dealing with those hard situations in events, in training. I think your mind becomes stronger, and it just finds out ways to work out solutions, adapt and overcome.
Has it always been that way? I feel like exercise brings you this, the physical and the mental health now. But what about like when you were a panel beater, a young man in your like late teens, early 20s? Was it good then?
Mental health was always pretty good. Yeah. Relationship with alcohol and that sort of thing, probably, like any New Zealand teenager, especially one who's in the panel beating trade. there was plenty of weekends with bottles of Jim Beam and, lots of partying. But I probably wouldn't change that. Like, it's a period of life that you go through and you learn a lot.
Yeah, you mentioned you had a couple of beers when you finished the Ultraman.
Yep.
But I'm guessing for the most part, your relationship with alcohol is probably non-existent now.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I went, like, the last, say, 10 years, I've been, pretty strict with eating and obviously very limited alcohol and that sort of thing. But in this last prep towards the Ultraman, I've actually relaxed a bit more because I've needed to get a lot more calories in to withstand the volume of training. So my diet's relaxed a little bit. It's still healthy choices. Like, if you looked at it, it's healthier than probably still 90% of the country.
Mm.
But I've just allowed a bit more in there. And then same with alcohol, just to relax. Like, I'd have maybe a couple of beers a week, but I don't feel that's a bad thing.
Oh, you're not going to bed steamed, are you?
No.
A couple of beers. And how do you feel about aging? Like, you're at your peak now. You said before you've still got some gains to make. Will you still be okay participating, when the speed starts to drop off?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a lifetime athlete. Just the benefits that you get from that, and the community that you're with. I coach a lot of people that are a bit older than me, and they're still going well, and they're still making improvements as well. So I think you can always improve on different aspects, and the mental side of things when you're older is, like, you can't short track mental toughness, really. You've got to go through the trenches through the years. And then I think if you're, say, when I'm 50, I can look at other 50-year-olds and think, right, I'm still competitive.
I suppose that's the thing. You just you start worrying about being good for age, and just comparing yourself to what you've done previously.
Yeah, I think so. And then just you can reset. Look at your kids, friends, parents, and sort of see what they're like. And I guess you can just compare to the general public, which nowadays is in a pretty sad state of fitness and health. Which, it's it's pretty hard to see, really, because I guess I'm in the community with people who are highly motivated and performing quite well. You sort of lose touch of what the general population is like. But, yeah, I just feel sad how a lot of people must wake up feeling so shit, go up through the day complaining, feeling like shit, and going to bed feeling like shit, whereas I know how good it can feel, and I know I want to try and help people to feel like that. So it's just trying to, I guess, break that mold.
Are you talking physically, mentally, or both?
Well, it's a combination, I think it all comes together. And I think the mental side of things that a lot of people are struggling with out there is because of the physical state their bodies are in. Like, they're not functioning well. So I think if they can turn that around, then, yeah, the state of the mental health of the whole country can improve.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it happens so progressively. People feel like shit and they don't actually realise how shit they feel.
No, they just normalise it. Yeah. They wake up every day and they're like, oh, today I feel good. But on the scale of good, it's still real shit. So I think if you can show them some small improvements, then you just get that roll-on effect.
From my personal perspective, I've had like an interesting relationship with alcohol over the years, and there's been periods where I'd drink a bottle of wine each night and I wake up the next morning feeling fine.
But that's your normal.
Yeah, but then you have a break from alcohol and just one or two glasses, and then suddenly you feel shit the next morning.
Yep.
Which is alarming, because it means when I'm having a bottle a night, I think I feel good the next morning, but I actually feel shit.
Yep. And yeah, that can just be a downward trend on any aspect of life, yeah. I guess. Any sort of, doesn't even have to be like addictions, but it's, yeah, whatever you're overindulging in that's unhealthy. You normalise, and then, yeah, that normal level, just that's your life then.
Mm. Well, anything that you do need to work on? What do you need to do better? What are the areas that require some work?
I don't know, like anyone, you've always got self-doubts around, yeah, all sorts of things, but
have you, like, what about for you?
Yeah, I don't know, performances, that sort of thing with the racing. I mean, you look back, and if you could do the last 10 years difference, I mean, that's like everything in life though. If you knew what you knew now 10 years ago, then you'd probably approach training and a few things a lot different, but that's part of the journey, and I think you just got to look forward rather than looking back.
Do you mean in terms of like making that next step up and becoming like a guy that goes to the Olympics or Commonwealth Games or something? What do you mean?
Yeah, possibly. But that's, I don't think I would change it though, because I feel like I've got the good balance with work and family. Like, you see some of those pro athletes that are still 40 years old and single and don't own a house and, you know, don't have anything to go to afterwards. I think I'd rather have my athletic career plus my family and work life.
Yeah,
so I'm happy with that, and there's no regrets.
Yeah, and mate, you just set a world record.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're not doing too bad.
No. So we can look forward, and there's still plenty more to come, which is exciting.
How good. All right, if anyone wants to track, you said you got your books full, but
no, not quite full.
Okay,
there's a few spots there because I'm going to be spending a bit more time on the coaching business.
Is there somewhere you can scale up and just do like generic programs for like from couch to 10K or something for people?
Yeah, definitely. That might be an add-on this year. But for now, I'm focusing on the good group of athletes I have got, and then looking to step away from the accommodation side of things in the next probably few months. So working away out of that. So then that will open up a lot more time for expanding Athletic Peak.
On Instagram,
yep,
website.
On Instagram, athleticpeak.co.nz, or just find me on Instagram. I think it's Cochrane Simon.
Yeah, you know, you post a lot of stuff on Instagram. It's very motivating.
Yeah, thanks. And same thing, like when I get a bit more time, when the accommodation side of thing goes away, I want to do a lot more sort of videos, articles, just for, yeah, endurance sports.
You ended up on Breakfast TV after the Ultraman. It's a random sport, and it's very niche.
Yep.
How did you end up getting some mainstream media coverage?
One of my athletes, Brittany, contacted Breakfast, and they were pretty excited. Yeah, the interview was really short on TV, but they were chatting for 10, 15 minutes either side of the interview, really interested. And One News got in touch, and they said they might do a bit of a follow-up and yeah, look at what is coming up next as well. So
I mean, it's great for the sport. You know, there must be that personal ego thing with you, which is great, but also for the broader public knowledge of Ultraman as well, it's bloody awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. Like, there has been a lot of exposure. I mean, even compared to some of my other results, which is cool. I mean, it helps to have, you know, broken the world record. That just gets a bit more...
smashed it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exciting things to come. I mean, there's so many options for races coming up, whether it's Ultraman or... be quite cool to have a crack at some of those crazy races in America, like 250-mile run events and that sort of thing. So push the boundaries.
I mentioned I had Jono Riddler on, who swam 99Ks, and that's what he said his why was. He wanted to like push the boundaries and see what he's capable of. And he said after that 99K swim, he felt like he came pretty fucking close.
Yep.
Where do you think you're at percentage-wise to reaching your personal limits? Or do you just keep redefining them?
Yeah, I think redefining is a good way. Like the 200Ks is probably one of my most proud efforts because I put a lot of planning into that. But I nailed that with an hour and a half to spare and feeling as good as you can after running for 24 hours. So I reckon, yeah, I'm maybe at 50 or 60%. So like there's a lot more there. And it's...
What, 50 or 60%?
Yeah. And I reckon... it's a lot more with the mind than physical. Like, you can only do so much training in a week, but your mind is almost, you know, limitless. Mm. You can go a lot further than you think.
There's a really good book I like, and in the book it talks about how if you know what the why is and the why is right, then the how just figures itself out. So what's that for you?
Yeah, I guess that's it with work, with training, with everything. I think the biggest thing is enjoying what you do. Like, I don't feel like I work. I don't feel like I train hard because I enjoy it all. Nothing's a chore. And I think, yeah, like when I see people complaining about their work, complaining about training, it's like, well, you're doing something wrong. Life's there to be enjoyed. Mm. And you can change things. And that is the hard decision that people need to do, you know? Can you get a job that you enjoy more, like you've done, like I do? Can you improve your fitness, your life, and all these aspects? Sometimes it's a hard choice, and it might just be 2 or 3 months of, shit, this is really hard. But then once you can get there, shit, it's worth it.
No one can do that stuff for you, though, eh?
No.
You can grizzle your way through life, but nothing's going to change unless you do it yourself.
No, exactly. And that's it. And deep down, everyone knows what they need to do and what they want to do. It's just sucking up the courage and doing it.
Simon Cochrane, Ultraman... world record holder.
Thank you, Dom. Great.
Thanks
chat.
A lot. We're going to have to do like a part two because we didn't even scrape the surface of the Blue Lake 24-hour run where you did 201K.
Yeah, we'll have to come back. And next time I will drag you out for a run.
Okay, we're on. Maybe just an hour or so.
Yeah, okay.
Is it worth even putting your shoes on for that?
Always. Every bit counts.
Thank you for making it all the way through this episode of Runners Only with Dom Harvey. That was new world record holder Simon Cochrane. Thanks very much to the sponsors of this episode, Radix Nutrition. Please check them out online, radixnutrition.co.nz. I know this is kind of an ad, but I genuinely believe what I say. Radix Nutrition are a phenomenal company, little company, doing big things from the Waikato to the world, and it's a pleasure to be part of them. Check them out for yourself, radixnutrition.co.nz, and if it stacks up and you like what you see, please try them out. All right, thanks again. Hope to see you next time on Runners Only with Dom Harvey.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.